Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
The first taping of the Blazing Grace show for the new year, 2009. Jason Graves here with, as usual, Taff Winnick. Hello, Taff.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. Yeah, we had an opportunity to ring in, well, kind of ring in the new year the other night. And, yeah. Of course, good to spend time with your lovely Garen.
Yeah, when you don't stay until midnight, it's ringing at the new year.
Yes, yeah, it is kind of ringing at the new year. A little anticlimactic for me, but that's okay because there's always next year. And right. I plan on keeping you around that long, so at least. So. Hopefully the feeling's
my
mutual.
Blood pressure just went down.
Good. Whatever I can do to help.
Yeah.
So, speaking of help, we want to help on the issue of father wounds, something that you and I can relate with, but really help unpack it a little bit. What is a father wound? Why pay attention to it? How can that heal? You know, what are the keys to healing on that? And I want to start by just kind of talking about our own experiences a little bit with that, because, you know, everybody's got their own story. And, you know, at the end of the day, here's what this show is not about. It's not about, hey, let's blame our dads for our stuff. Let's blame our dads because we have a sexual addiction or because we're depressed or because we have anxiety or marriage problems or whatever. It's not about that. In Stephen Arterburn's book, Healing is a Choice, I love how one of the healing choices is to investigate your life. And so a lot of us are like walking wounded because we're walking around with this gaping father issue that's never really been examined, much less healed or addressed. So we want to do that today. And so Taff, maybe you could open a little bit about your experience and how you kind of conceptualize personally your father wound. What does that look like for you?
Well, I read several years ago, when I was reading John Eldridge's material and listening to him talk about the father wound and the question that every boy grows up with, that resonated with me because it's always, my experience anyway, has always been about, from the father wound, has always been about being good enough, mm-hmm. being sufficient. You know, Eldridge says, you know, do I have what it takes when it counts the most? Mm-hmm. And nobody on the planet is able to tell you that like your father can. And consequently, nobody's negative message to you sticks as hard or hurts as bad as your dad's can.
Right. So adequacy.
Adequacy is really it.
So we kind of need that told to us that we do have what it takes.
And you know, not to jump ahead, there's so many places we could go with this. This is just the... I mean, this is kind of the condition of manhood in this season of the earth right now. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of masculine initiation. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of men who were pulled aside as boys and had this given to them as a gift.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of men feeling like a boy in a man's world.
Right. You know, it is so uncanny when I was doing the Everyman Battle workshop, how many guys, when we would do the father wound exercise, and I would ask them to write down 5 or 10 things that you would have liked to have heard from your father growing up, or just things that you would like to have heard more. How many guys had never heard their dad say, "I love you"? It was uncanny. I mean, so often. So whether it's words of affirmation, like "you've got what it takes," or words of love and affection, a spoken message is something that needs to be heard consistently and clearly. And that's something that Mike Janung actually outlines in his article, Healing Father Wounds, which you can actually find on the Blazing Grace website at blazinggrace.org in the article section. So it's called Healing Father Wounds. Okay, so number one, verbal, you know, affirmation. I know for me, I got some of that from my dad, but I didn't get it in a custom-tailored way according to who I was. It was more of a general, generic kind of a message that, you know, he loved me, and I knew that, and he was affectionate. but I didn't know what he loved about me. And so I don't know if you can relate with that, but I mean, I think that sort of our hearts need to be known for who we are, and we need that acknowledged by our fathers too.
Well, and I think there are a lot of, you know, it just seems like there are different generations of men who are less emotionally engaged, mm-hmm. less conversationally engaged. You know, they kind of had to fend for themselves.
Right.
And so they think that the way to raise sons is to raise sons that can fend for themselves emotionally. So they don't say a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that translated as feeling like I needed to perform.
Right.
You know, I played baseball and I was a pitcher and I was a good pitcher, but I wasn't ever a good enough pitcher.
Right.
You know, there was always that hanging out there. I needed to be better. I needed, and what I, you know, what I needed was my dad's favor.
Mm.
And he, you know, my own dad, and he may, I realize he may be listening to this show.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I, you know, have this remarkable walk together today, you know, in real time. But back then, you know, his uncertainty about his own sonship
mm-hmm.
really hurt his ability to help me with mine.
Right.
And so there was this, you know, well, we related around performance.
Right.
And so that for me was always this, you know, I hope I'm good enough, but I never really get to hear that I am.
Right. Yeah, because you can't give what you don't have. And if you are not secure in your own masculinity and in your own process, how can you affirm another according to theirs? And it kind of brings us to the first point, I think, of healing a father wound, and that is that we have to have empathy for our dads. You know, I really struggled with that. I really struggled with that for a long time in realizing that, you know, my dad was not perfect. He was just a man. He had his own struggles. Part of that was that, you know, I didn't necessarily hear his struggles much. And everybody around me seemed to think that my dad was, you know, pretty perfect. And so when you grow up in that and not hearing his struggles and not hearing his heart, well, you know, what do you expect, I guess, right? So again, not to blame him, but I it does help me to understand him. And that makes it a little less intense as well. You know, I don't want to blame my dad for where I'm at. I want to be empathetic towards him, okay? So are you struggling with empathy towards your dad? Well, maybe this is a time where you can take that to the Lord. And you can just say, hey, Father, give me a compassion and an understanding and allow me to give my earthly dad a break in that way.
Okay. Yeah, the thing that makes it so hard is when you're living in the middle of, excuse me, some deficit that you feel, you know, you feel deficit in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that absence of fatherhood, particularly if you have kids of your own, and you realize that you're not as connected to them as you'd like to be,
mm-hmm.
or you open your mouth sometimes and you hear your father's voice coming out of you. And I know that's true for a lot of men. They're perpetuating this thing that they didn't like to begin with.
Right.
And it's really that empathy part's really, it's really tough because for a lot of men, there's not any resolution
right.
to be had with their earthly dad.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier that my dad and I have a remarkable walk, you know, today together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I realize I'm so blessed and fortunate that he and I have learned sonship together in my adult life.
Right.
And that's beautiful, but not a lot of men get that.
Right.
So you just, you know, you feel like you're showing up for a job and there's not enough tools on the belt and, mm-hmm. It's easy to be a little resentful. It's easy to be a little jaded and,
right.
Hard to get to that place, you know, yeah. That you were talking about.
Yeah. And because some of these things that leave us with the wounds, the wounds were caused not by commission, but by omission. I mean, it's almost like they're sleepers, you know, some of the things we're talking about, and not getting affirmed, you know, not getting seen for who you are. There's other sort of acts of omission. Sometimes you might have grown up and you never had a hug, you know. You can't remember being physically embraced, having your father's arms around you. Those are things that you sometimes don't even realize how they factor in. It would be almost better in some senses had you been beaten, in a sense that you would recognize, oh, that's what my father wound's about. So I think that's one obstacle to being able to see and realize that you've got a wound, is that sometimes it's not very obvious, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's important here to look at a couple of ways that we react, mm-hmm. things that show up in our adult life as we, you know, look in the mirror today. Mm-hmm. From the father wound, you know, most boys, and this show particularly for men, the father wound for men looks a bit different. And there's so much to say about it that it's important to say we'll probably have to do another segment on the father wound for women and sure. how that plays out, and maybe even, God willing, have a woman to join us and talk about that. Mm-hmm. But, it's all about emotionality, and closed fathers don't acknowledge their son's emotionality.
Mm-hmm.
Abusive fathers abuse the emotionality. Mm-hmm. And so a boy learns to do one of a couple of things. He will learn to overfocus on his emotions in mm-hmm. defiance of his dad's closedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a way of just saying, you know, ha, I got you, you know.
Right. Well, and as a way, if you won't pay attention to me, dad,
then
I'll just become so self-absorbed that I'll pay all the attention to me.
I'll pay attention to me, and I'll live in this outrageous way. You know, that somebody is going to have to pay attention.
So maybe you'll see me.
Right.
So maybe someday I'll get to matter to you. Mm-hmm. Or, and this I think is worse. I mean, that's a painful scenario. Mm-hmm. The one we just described.
Mm.
Because when we do that, when we're reacting that way, we just get into so many, you know, just ridiculous things, whether it's acting out in, mm-hmm. in partying and drugs and alcohol or mm-hmm. sex or, you know, or I'll do the thing that my father would. I'll, you know, we talk a lot on the show about same gender attraction and I'll begin to live in such a way that my father will have to notice me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
And all of that creates so much pain. But this, Jason, is what I think is even worse. A father whose heart really isn't alive to emotionality
mm-hmm.
doesn't give any kind of acknowledgement to his son's emotionality. And so the son says this, oh, I get it. This is how a man is supposed to be.
Yeah, closed off. Right.
And so they weld shut
mm-hmm.
all of their emotional receptors.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point they want to marry.
Right.
At some point they want to have kids.
Right.
But all of their emotional receptors are welded shut in almost exactly the same way their fathers were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this creates a lot of job security for therapists.
Yeah.
But it's not the kind I want.
Right, right, exactly.
Because that's much more difficult to, you know, the heart that's been killed off
mm-hmm.
is really hard to revive.
Right. Absolutely. And when it starts to become revived, and you'll see this when a guy gets into recovery and all of a sudden he's starting to live in a much more healthy way and his feelings start to come up, and he doesn't know what's going on, you know? He's finally healthy enough and safe enough for those feelings to come out, and it can look very messy. And then they run the risk of, if they're not in a supportive enough climate, of going back and, you know, retreating into the cave because they had, you know, they experienced something that was scary or uncomfortable when it was really just life, you know? Feelings happen, right?
Yeah, and when that messiness starts to happen, I mean, for a guy, it can really start to feel like you're coming unraveled.
Right.
And we have to be so completely in control. You know, that's the schema for men. That's the theme song. We have to be in control. We have to be in charge. And
right.
man, to feel like it's slipping is really scary. And right. and even in therapy, you know, you watch men be afraid to just really come unwound.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with, you know, can we trust the Father with that? Can mm-hmm. we trust God with mm-hmm. that? But I was thinking while you were saying that a moment ago, that a man will start to feel like there's no safe place. A man can easily feel like there's no safe place. Even in therapy, if he gets strung out in therapy and just experiences a lot of tears, I've seen immediately following that, I've seen men go back into the cave.
Right.
Where, wow, I don't ever want to do that again. If that's what this is about, I don't know if I can go there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When my wife doesn't handle it well, you know, or whatever.
Right. Resentments build.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, I mean, we can easily hold on to resentments against our dads, you know. I mean, we can do that with our moms too, but it seems a little bit more common because resentment is something that is, it's dangerous. It's an affront. It's almost like a weapon sometimes. And maybe there's a subconscious perception that, you know, our dads can just take it more. So, you know, it's easier to get in that resentment place. I don't know. I'm speculating. But I know that that's been something in my process that I want to talk about a little bit. But first, you know, we've been asking listeners to give us some feedback. You know, tell us what's helping. Tell us what you want to hear more about. I got a Facebook friend who sent me a little note I want to read here. It says, "Your Brotherhood podcasts with Taff. Scratching right where I itch with my mentoring passion ministry here. Hope to get to Exodus in Wheaton. Do you know if you'll be headed there this year? I'd especially be interested in a seminar on the role of mentors in the lives of those dealing with same gender attractions. I'm sure that they've had them, but I haven't gotten enough to know. Your ministry is valuable. Always rest assured that God is using you around the world." So thank you, TJ. We won't say your full name on the air, but gosh, thank you for that affirmation, those kind words, but also the feedback. And so I think, Taff, we just need to just do honor TJ and do a show on mentors. And but if you have feedback, if something's helped, let us know. You can email Taff, help@legendcounseling.com, or email me, help@healingforthesoul.org, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have an idea for a show, just shoot it right off. But let's get back, because one of the obstacles to healing is resentments, and especially because when we hold on to resentments, I think we're less likely to be connective and connecting with other brothers. And, you know, speaking of this brotherhood podcast, I mean, that is one of the keys to healing of any kind, certainly father wound issues. But I know for me, with my resentment, I held it for a long time with my dad, and as a result, it kept me really crippled. It was hard for me to be willing to connect with other guys because basically I just kind of assumed that they would let me down. When I started to begin to just forgive, and not just a one-time forgiveness thing, but practicing forgiveness, where, you know, my dad will still do things. God love him. You know, he's getting, you know, into his 60s now, starting to get a little forgetful. He'll do things, little things that can really get me. And I just have to let go. I have to choose not to give that any energy, any thought. It's not that I'm a doormat, but I have to also realize that, you know, he's not doing things intentionally. I have to give him a break. I have to kind of be willing to just go easy, let it roll off a duck's back, like water off a duck's back. And that's hard for some people to do.
Yeah. You know, when, especially when you're in pain, when you're struggling, when you're actually feeling the results of some stuff still. I was talking to an individual the other day, and, you know, really, I mean, the father wound is the thing that's right in the middle of his face. After the holidays, you know, where everybody goes home and gets triggered by your family of origin stuff, and he's just in a depression and a funk, and I'm like, he's saying to me, well, why do I still do this? Why does what he says still mean so much to me?
Right.
You know, because he was phenomenally wounded by his father conversationally over the holidays. And I said this to him. I said, you know, all of this, your memory of it, the effect that it's had on you, the way that, you know, those private resentments that you've held for so long, but all of this is tailor-made to keep you and the rest of us men thinking like victims.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're thinking, I mean, you can't champion anyone if you're thinking like a victim.
Right.
It's that would be a good thing to know, that the father wound and the way that we carry it and the effect that it has had, it was tailor-made by the enemy to cause us to go through life thinking like a victim rather than a champion.
Right.
Or than a warrior.
Right.
you know, if you're in the bottom of that hole and your pain is so exquisite and so complete, victims don't have a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm so hurt by my father and I'm so hamstrung at every turn because I was wounded in this way or that, mm-hmm. I don't really have a lot of responsibility for my healing, like you had mentioned before. Mm-hmm. I don't have responsibility for, you know, if I just want the world to understand how wounded I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then maybe people will give me a break.
Right.
And that might be fine. It's just really hard to get progress as a man. It's hard to talk your wife into being impressed with that.
Yeah, right. Well, it's hard to talk anybody into being impressed with that. You'll get people that might align with you because you buy what you sell. And, you know, if you're being victim-y, well, then I can just, you know, tap into my victim-y-ness. But that doesn't impress much in the relationship. It doesn't move a relationship forward.
Right. We can all sew V's on the shoulder of our motorcycle jackets or something and make a club. But
victim. I don't have a motorcycle jacket. Does that make me a victim?
But you could use another one.
Okay, all right.
But
all right, so with just a couple minutes left, I mean, all joking aside, we've got things that have happened, both acts that our fathers have committed, things that, you know, they haven't done that have left us with a wound. These are things that we need to go after in order to be healed in our recovery relationships. Other brothers, maybe you're a single guy and you need to actually ask for a hug. I hope you do that. Maybe you need to ask for some words of affirmation. You know, guys, I just need to know, what is the masculinity that you see in me? Or tell me about the champion, to use your words, Taff, that you see in me. You have to go after that and create that for yourself sometimes. And that's not like a narcissistic thing. It's just a self-caring thing. Okay.
And it's in the company of good brothers that takes place. I'll bet you right now that there are people listening that are going, yeah, but what about this?
Mm.
What about this father wound?
Mm-hmm.
And I really, Jason, I hope we hear from those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Give us a call.
Yeah.
Give us a call because this is stuff that is very real. It's the roots of the symptoms. I mean, we can talk about acting out all day, but unless we really get to this stuff deep down, we're not going to make much progress. You can reach TAF if you need some counseling and need to connect with a counselor at 877-223-7331, or go ahead and call us at Healing for the Soul at 719-590-SOUL or 590-7685. We'd love to help you. We've got teleconference groups where you can get involved in a group over a private teleconference system facilitated by a professional counselor, no matter where you live in the world. Hey, tune in next time when we talk about marriage. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.